The ability to Google anything and to have information that comes from across the country suddenly be impacting what customers think about what's coming out of the tap in your utility. It brings communication so much closer to the forefront.
Welcome to another edition of the Water Brothers Podcast. I'm Jay Kirshner, the Executive Director of American Water College, and I'm joined today by my brother, Joe Kirshner, as well as a couple of special guests. With us today are Stephanie Zavala and Ariane Shipley from Rogue Water. They're also known as the H2 Duo, and they are passionate about water and building bridges between the water industry and the people they serve. And they understand that communication is a fundamental building block for building those bridges, as well as for innovation and progress in the water industry. So we've asked them to join us today and discuss the topic of communication. Ladies, before we get started, why don't you just take a few minutes and introduce yourselves to our listeners?
All right, so this is Stephanie, and I worked at three different water utilities before we took this Rogue journey in 2017 and started Rogue Water. And I did all of the communication, marketing, public outreach, public engagement for those utilities, and absolutely loved my job. Fell in the water on accident, pun intended, fell in the water on accident in grad school, where I took a class with a professor named Becky Johnson at TCU in Fort Worth, Texas, on water and wastewater treatment. And I had never heard water story told in that way. And I fell in love and have been in love ever since. And super passionate and stoked to be on this journey with my best friend, Ariane.
Yeah. So I'm Ariane Shipley, and I've worked for basically the same utility for most of my career in a little town called Mansfield.
Shout out.
And there I wore many hats as the education specialist, public education specialist, but by title. But I also was communication, outreach, education, marketing, PIO, PR, all the above, for all things related to water, including the environmental department, stormwater and everything. So I worked there for a number of years, and then a year and a half before I left, I stole the lovely Ms. Zavala from Fort Worth, and she and I wrecked shop and had a great time and realized that we can work every day together and still love each other in the end. Yeah. And so we took the journey and went rogue.
We did.
Excellent. It's always good to have a partner. I know working with my brother, Joe, it makes the journey a lot easier and a lot more fun.
I don't know if I make it easier for her, but I definitely make it more fun.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Now that you mention it.
Hey, now.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for introducing yourselves. And why don't we just start with several questions that I have regarding communication. And first, I want to just ask you, why is it that communication is important, especially in the water industry?
Well, it's so fundamental, really, to everything that a utility does, which hasn't always been the case or on the forefront of a lot of utilities' minds, just because in the past they haven't had to. They've been able to be the silent utility in the background that if they didn't hear from their customers, that was a good thing, you know. But in today's day and age, with social media, with the ability to Google anything and to have information that comes from across the country suddenly be impacting what customers think about what's coming out of the tap in your utility, it brings communication so much closer to the forefront of what's going on in the day-to-day. And so every single year, AWWA, the American Water Works Association, puts out their State of the Water Industry report. And for the past at least 5 years, two of the top five greatest challenges that utilities say they're facing in the industry is the public's lack of knowledge of the service and value that water and wastewater utilities provide, and also just the public's lack of understanding of water resources in general. So knowing where their water is coming from, knowing the whole process. And those are all things that are very tied to the way that a utility is communicating what they do and the value of that to their customers. And so this has become...
And on the flip side, all the other ones, they There's element of communication to every one of them too.
We would argue that they're all in some way related to communication, but this is important. We have a lot of challenges facing the industry right now. We have aging infrastructure needs to be repaired, replaced. All of these things cost money. Nobody wants to pay more for anything. And so being able to make sure that your customers understand the value of the services and the product that you do provide every day. And also we have this aging workforce and we're dealing with a lot of those workforce issues. And how are we marketing ourselves to this next generation that are going to be running our water utilities into the future and showing them that this is a great organization to work for, and that water, every single day you get to be a part of an organization that's directly impacting the health and safety of their community. So being able to market ourselves in that way too. So, yeah.
Hey, let me, if I could, Jay, I'm going to interject and tell a little bit of a story to kind of, I guess, lend some credence to what was just said. And that is when I first got into this industry, and it was around 2000, so, you know, 18, 19 years ago, the motto was, and the guy that got me into the industry, what he told me was, is our piping and all of our delivery systems or collection systems, they're underground, they're out of sight and out of mind. And we want to keep it that way. And so he said, a good day in the water. Well, I started in wastewater, but a good day in the wastewater business is when the customer doesn't even hear from us or think about us. And so I think it was Stephanie that said that. She's exactly right.
Right.
That the mindset of the older generation, which I'm part of, was to, you know, out of sight, out of mind, that's the good thing. But like you said, with Google, with social media, the element or the need for external communication and communicating with the customer is huge. And for years, many utilities have kicked the can down the road of raising rates to a point to where the service they were providing was sustainable. You know, with the aging infrastructure, there hasn't been adequate money set aside to repair and replace the infrastructure that we have. So now, we're reaping what was sown back then. And when we have to go to the public and say, look, we need to raise rates because we need more money to repair or replace parts of the system that's failing, you really want to have good communication and a good relationship with the public now, especially with social media being what it is, that wasn't really necessary 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that and gave that perspective because, you know, it's like, yeah, it was kicked down the can. And the can was kicked down the road. But does it matter? Are we trying to say, oh, whose fault it was, this and that? It doesn't matter. What matters is how we handle it moving forward and communicate with our customers now moving forward and tell them about all the amazing things that we do on a day-to-day.
Now, does Rogue Water specialize in that external communication dealing with the public, or do you also deal with the internal communication? You mentioned a little bit about the aging workforce or just the shift in the workforce. We have people retiring, that we're bringing on a new younger generation. So if that's something that you do, can you address the internal communication just a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So we help utilities communicate with their customers better and also help utilities communicate internally more effectively also. I mean, it's my opinion that, you know, you have to have your own house in order before you go around telling other people what they should be doing in theirs. And so I feel that it's incredibly important for utilities to have their story straight internally and making sure that everyone's on the same page, everyone knows the goals, everyone knows the mission, and so that all of those things are helping utilities create a consistent message for their customers. And so absolutely that internal piece is important. And the way that we've been able to help utilities kind of weave those things together and make sure that they're doing that is just making sure that they're mission driven, that they're sticking to their core values, because those are the messaging that gets communicated internally so that everybody from the director down to the field ops guy or gal in the hole in the field understand why they're there, why they're doing that. And when a customer comes up to them, because they have the same message that they would get if they talked to the director of water utilities. So yes, internal is as important, if not more important than the external comms.
All right. That's some good stuff. So if I were to ask you to sum up effective communication in one word, what would it be?
That's easy. You want to do it together?
Audience.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, the well-known adage in the real estate biz is location, location, location. But in effective communication, it's all about audience, audience, audience. And that's one thing that we really try and beat away at constantly is that just for utilities to focus on their audience. And most importantly, knowing that One of the issues that we run up against when talking about this with utilities, or actually not just utilities, with anybody in the water sector, mm-hmm. is that everyone uses water. Everyone creates wastewater. And so therefore the answer is always like, well, then clearly everyone is our audience. But when you, no one in this world has the budget or the bandwidth to communicate with everyone. When you try and communicate with this everyone, you essentially communicate with no one. Because if someone's not hearing something and says, oh, that has to do with me, then they're going to tune you out. And so my me is going to be different than your me. And so like if messages aren't targeted to the correct audience, then it's really going to fall flat. And so, and that needs to be outside of just knowing the demographics of your community. Because when you think about it, if you stuck a group of people in a room that were just there based on either a specific age bracket or gender, like most of those people are not going to have much in common outside of, you know, when they were born and what gender they are. And so really, like, it comes down to really knowing more about psychographics and what motivates people, where your customers are already getting their information, because that can give you an idea of where to start trying to communicate with them on that. Some of the attitudes and beliefs that they all already hold. There's ways of doing that and getting that information, but also just investing in surveys, and they don't have to be crazy expensive surveys.
Yeah. Break the bank surveys. Yeah.
Yeah. You can start as something as simple as if you do have like a social media presence already, maybe asking some questions on there.
You know, I started just when we would attend festivals, the city or whoever, we'd have these big local festivals and, you know, I got a free booth. Okay. That was me at a table with a piece of paper and a set of questions and tally marks. Or, you know, I mean, sometimes you have to get, if that's where you're at budget wise, then that's where you're at. That's where you start. And you just start asking questions until you can get that information enough across the spectrum of your community. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. So, okay. So that's external communication. Let's bring it back internal again. We train just a wide spectrum of folks in the water and wastewater industry everywhere from, we have management training for directors and managers. We have technical training for the field, operational staff. How does communication apply across, you know, such a wide range of job functions?
I mean, I would say from the management director level, really their ability to lead and to lead in a consistent way that's gonna be heard by their employees, because, like, you know, that mission, those values, those kind of should come from the top down. And so if you don't have the ability to communicate that well with your people, or if you don't have certain strategies in place to where you're constantly being reminded to do that regularly and routinely, then that's going to impact the effectiveness of your leadership with your team. And so to me, from that high level, that really helping you be a better leader and to be able to communicate the goals and the mission of your organization to everybody across, I mean, depending on the size of your utility, that could be everyone from utility billing to your field ops people and everyone in between, council. Mm-hmm. So just knowing how to be an effective communicator makes you a much more effective leader, in my opinion. Yeah. Did you want to speak to the field?
Well, I was going to say that I really believe that having effective communication, as a leader, really creates that culture in your department or your organization. And so if you're known to be an effective communicator, and to also that doesn't mean always speaking, that means listening, then everyone from the top down to the guys and gals in the holes or reading meters, they're going to be emulating the same thing. So they're going to be listening to each other, and they're going to be communicating with each other on a better level than everyone feeling like it's me against the world.
Excellent. So in your work with utilities, you know, across the country and in various regions, You probably have experienced various levels of communication. Some probably do it really well, some not so well. I'm not asking you to out anybody, but maybe just give some tips on how utilities can do their communication better.
I'm going to go back to my point of starting internally and how it really matters the way that you're messaging what you're doing internally before you can even begin to communicate something consistently with your customers. And so I always go to DC Water. You know, a lot of people know DC's Water's success story of how they turned around this utility in a lot of it gets put on the shoulders of George Hawkins. He will always give those shout outs and kudos back to his entire team and to the organization as a whole. But, you know, a lot of people just hear that story and they're like, wow, if only I could hire these people or do a campaign like this. But the magic of what happened at DC Water was not a PR campaign or a marketing campaign or a communication campaign. It came to what he did internally and how he got his people internally communicating with one another better. And that just overall got them all on mission, got them all on brand, and also helped them as an organization start running more effectively because they're communicating more, they're talking more, they're helping each other solve problems faster and more effectively. And so for me, when it comes, that's to me an example of utility who used communication to really turn around what it was, how the public perceived them, how they were running as an organization. And that all happened from the inside out. Now, from an external example, I would say Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. Oh, yeah. If you're not following them on Twitter, you're missing out. I mean, they're on more platforms than just Twitter, but
Twitter is on point.
They have created such a following from, most importantly, folks from outside of the water industry. Like, if you're in the water industry, it's fun to follow just because we speak that language. It's wastewater, so you would enjoy that, Joe. But, it's very funny. It's very relevant. It's so relevant and timely. But it's fun to watch them. And they're talking about, you know, wastewater. It's something that's typically taboo to talk about. And so they're an excellent example of a utility that's doing amazing things externally.
One thing I'll say, I'll give how utilities can communicate better. Let's tighten up these meetings. Let's pull ourselves out of these 4 to 8 hour meetings. Yeah. Let's create agendas that are doable within about 30 minutes to an hour. And anything above and beyond that, let's talk about that later when we're not wasting everyone else's time, because I've been in those. We all have. You laugh because it's true.
It's true.
You know, it's so, yes, there's a lot of things to talk about, but let's have an agenda. Let's stick to it. And let's, you know, maybe jot down some notes of, you know, I need to address this issue at a later point with this one person. Or maybe 2 or 3 people in a room, you know, so
it's doable too. I mean, she's speaking from, the resource that we always turn back to is called the 4 disciplines of execution, which sounds like you're going to learn how to kill someone, but it's really like getting stuff done. So, and it's by Sean Covey. And
yeah, that's a great book too. It teaches you exactly how to do that. What does that mean? How do you do that? You know, and it's funny because in my 10 years as a, public servant in utility, I didn't know that was a thing until I left. And our friends who have a marketing agency next door, they have these quick little 30-minute meetings, and I go, what is this? You know, how do you guys get anything done? So much that I made myself attend a few to see like the rapid fire, like bam, 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 run through the agenda. It's no nonsense. Yeah. There's no complaining. You got to move along and get in and get out. And it really set them up for the week. And so I thought, wow, this really can be done. It's pretty cool.
But we've also seen it done in a utility. Yeah. Our mentor, Greg Lukash, who works for SAWS, he's implemented that in his team. And so we've gotten to see them as this living case study of how, yeah, you can really make it happen in a utility too.
Yeah, I'll even confirm that. We organizations I've been part of, and now here at American Water College, if you have a good meeting rhythm and you have an agenda and you're able to communicate a lot of information throughout the organization, you're able to address issues regularly. And as long as you can stick to that agenda, it's powerful and it's effective. I haven't read that book, but I think I'm probably going to.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, you'll love it. It'll be right up y'all's alley.
Yeah, there's a thing about setting that expectation of this is going to be a quick meeting, and then come to your meeting with your action item accomplished or not, but why and how do we get it done?
Okay, you know, excellent.
So if I might add to this, the takeaway that I'm hearing is communication takes effort, and it takes a decision on the part of leadership within the organization to make the effort to improve communication. You know, we talk about, we need to communicate, but it really is, it's a decision that's made by the leadership of the organization. And then it's modeled, which I heard you say, because people will emulate that good communication. But it definitely takes effort. Is that something that you guys, or you ladies, work with utilities on and give them some tips, techniques on how to improve the communication within there?
Absolutely.
I mean, other than just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so a couple things. When we were at the cities that we were at and when we were together, I would say that my director then, and he'll tell you now, if he could have his head in the sand, he would love to do that.
I think all of us would.
The perfect world. He's also been in the biz for 20 plus years. So, you know, he grew up in the same thinking process of no news is good news. But it wasn't until, we came around and whispered in his ear daily, no, we got to get out there. We got to get out there. Got to get ahead of the game. And so it doesn't always, when I say like leadership or whatever, it doesn't always mean that the manager or the executive director or director of utilities has to start. Just somebody in your organization has to start and allow them to start it. Allow them to, beat that drum of communication.
Well, they may not have to start it, but they have to buy into it.
Yeah, they have to buy into it. And then I was going to say to teach people how we do these things. We actually host, I don't know if you want to talk about Catalyst, but we host an event. It's a 2.5 day, mastermind summit that we bring in people who've bought into communication and education. Maybe that's their title, public educators, water communication manager, whatever their title is. If they're in the business of communicating in the water industry, they're attending this summit, and it's people from inside and outside the industry just teaching you how to communicate on a deeper level or better.
Well, why don't you go ahead and plug it? When and where is Catalyst?
Well, unfortunately, this year is sold out. Last year was sold out as well. We keep it intentionally small, but Catalyst does take place. We're doing it every year now in June. We partner with San Antonio Water System. We also get a lot of support by Texas AWWA, by the Water Environment Association of Texas. So we have TAWWA and WEAT both in the mix, plus a lot of other generous sponsors this year. But then also, we are friends in the podcast space, where we also have a podcast, Water in Real Life, and where ours is dedicated solely to communication, public outreach, public engagement. And so a lot of the things, the themes, the lessons that you would get at Catalyst can also be heard on our podcast as well.
Good stuff. Well, we're getting close to running out of time, but I have one more question for you. You've mentioned San Antonio Water, DC Water, was it Northeast Ohio Wastewater?
Yep.
Okay. They don't strike me as small organizations. Yeah. They seem larger. Does all of this only apply to the larger organizations? And let me just ask you, what would your advice be? Because there are probably a lot more smaller utilities, those out in rural areas that might not have the budget. They might not be able to have a dedicated person, to be their spokesperson on staff. What would you recommend for them?
So I think starting out, it's important to get input from people who have experience in that. And so if you're going to outsource, I would definitely kind of outsource your first steps to a firm that does communication work. Obviously, we would love for them to work with us, but it doesn't have to be
us. Rogue Water would be
recommend. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be, us. But really what they could do is they can come in and just kind of get a realistic sort of list of what's most feasible, where to start, where to get the most bang for your buck in terms of how you're going to communicate to the most, your prioritized audience, if you have one. And then that can really be the first step, is just kind of getting started. One thing that we see happen sometimes is that when utilities, especially the smaller ones, maybe get the green light to, let's say, get on social media or start doing more social media,
they're everywhere.
Yeah, they open an account on across every single social media platform that's ever been heard, and now like the poor volunteer person who got voluntold to run these accounts is now like having to create all this content somehow for like 10 different channels. And so my biggest piece of advice would be to hire someone to kind of get you a plan to start. But make sure that it's realistic and make sure that baby steps, you know, like start small, really nail that one area, that one metric, whatever it is.
Maybe it's just a utility bill, consistently putting utility bill inserts as your communication tool. Fine. Let's start one piece at a time. Maybe it's just one Twitter account, you know, not Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, all the above. Maybe it's just one. Nail it. Get that done every day. Be consistent and nail that. And then, you know, we'll move up to another. So start small.
Yeah. Start small.
Great advice. Well, we're going to leave it there. Stephanie, Ariane, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll do this again sometime. We'll check in after Catalyst, maybe.
Hey, before we wrap it up, do you want to let them give their website, web address, or way to?
Sure.
Let us know how people can find Rogue Water and get in contact with you if they have a need.
Well, you can find us two ways, actually. Well, you can find us multiple ways. We're everywhere. But you can go to Rogue Water's website, which is roguewatergroup.com. You can also go to the h2duo.com website to check out the podcast.
We are on Twitter. We're very active on Twitter.
Yes.
@_h2duo or @rogue_water. We're on Instagram.
I would say Twitter.
But Twitter is Twitter. Our jam.
Yeah.
Industry's jam.
And if you're in the water industry and you're not on Twitter, you're missing out, because that's where everybody is. It's awesome. A great conversation happening out there.
Well, we're going to leave it there for now. So for American Water College, I'm Jay.
And I'm Joe.
And we are the Water Brothers. We'll talk to you soon.